Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Hi, how are you? I'm Steve. Nice to see you. 6:10. Welcome. It's Monday. Oh, it's going to be hot today. 100 feels like degrees today.
I think all week.
Is that
except
right?
For, I think tomorrow there's supposed to be a little rain. Otherwise, 90s every day.
Remember Gone with the Wind? I might get the vapors.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Remember when Scarlett O'Hara got the vapors? Mm-hmm. Oh, my. I think I have the vapors. I think that's what I'm going to have. I don't know what the vapors are, but I feel like I'm going to get them.
Yeah, I think you are, too.
Yeah.
We're going to fan you, though, so it'll be okay.
I have been in the 90 to 95 degree heat since last Wednesday. Oh, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. It wasn't like I was farming. I was actually playing golf in a tournament, the big member guest tournament we have out at White Eagle in Naperville. And it was 95 every day. Every day.
Well, you kind of were farming. I mean, it's semi-agricultural.
Depending on the size of the divot,
yes.
Yeah, you could plant.
Mm-hmm. My mom would always say, you could be digging ditches for a living in this heat.
Oh, I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I know from the heat, we're all going to be okay. But 100 all week, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, if you don't have to go outside.
Everybody's got to go outside at some point.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, we do have air conditioning, so it's all right. Most people do.
If you don't, yeah, listen, if you have to go outside, go inside as fast as you possibly can. Just get outside and go inside. You know what it is? It's the opposite of the polar vortex. It's the polar not vortex. It's the not polar vortex is what it is.
I mean, after a winter like we had, didn't you guys expect this? Just, we were going to get bombarded with the worst of the worst this whole year.
Are you trying to blame Skilling for this?
I'm not trying to blame Skilling.
It sounds like you're blaming Skilling a little
bit.
Yeah,
I mean, he is weather god, so it might be his fault.
How are you, by the way?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Welcome. You're going to be with us all week?
All week.
Good. Mary Vandeveld is chasing mosquitoes in northern Wisconsin.
She is.
She's camping in her car.
Yeah. I wonder if she does that when she's on break. Does she nap? Like, when she's on vacation, does she nap in her car there, too?
Hmm? Camps in her car.
So it's like a canvas tent inside her car.
Yes.
That she opens up?
A little fire.
I hope she doesn't have to sleep in her car. I know that her cabin was being built, and it should be finished, so I'm hoping that it was finished by the time she got there, and she doesn't have to be sleeping in her car.
I don't know. They're building a new cabin?
Yeah.
Well, how much are we paying her?
Well, apparently more than we should. The 613, the 613, as opposed to other 613s, it's 613. Talk about a very busy weekend coming up here in a second. Oh, and thanks to Channel 9 for letting us come along and play on Friday.
That was a lot of fun.
It was a good time. Yeah, Channel 9's a big, what do they call that thing?
Block party.
In downtown Naperville, of which I drove by and did an hour and a half with you guys. It seemed like an entertaining show. I'm glad I was on it.
I'm glad you were part of it,
yeah.
Especially since you live in Naperville.
It's not easy to get booked on that show, though.
No.
You got to know people.
You do.
Yeah. Michael Heidemann came over and gave me notes.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, Super Joe's still out in Vegas. Right?
He wanted to do a pre-interview with me. I said, this is my show. What do you need? You need a pre-interview.
Yeah, you don't need to screen him.
6:14. Let's do the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't keep your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Dave told you about the Cubs sweep and the White Sox swept. One of the great finals in Wimbledon history, if not in all of tennis yesterday. 5 hours of Grandpa Federer taking on. I didn't realize Djokovic is like 32, 33 himself, and that's old for tennis.
He's been around. I mean.
Yeah, five Wimbledon titles now.
This was yet another one for him. I think it was his, let's see, he's the first man in 71 years to win Wimbledon after facing match points. He faced a couple of them.
Yeah.
In the final.
Yeah, there were several championship points. Federer kept coming back over and over again, and they got to the 7-point final. First time they've had to go to the 7-point tiebreaker after they tied in the fifth set. 12 games to 12.
How about that? Did you see what he did afterwards when he actually... And this really rang true with me, Steve, because Djokovic dropped to his knees, picked up some grass off the court, and ate it.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh, I did not see that.
Totally get that.
Yeah, because that's where you normally eat.
He was hungry.
Yeah, exactly. Federer at 37 played like Roger Federer and was going for his 9th Wimbledon championship, and I believe his 20th major, 19th or 20th major. So it's crazy the amount that he's won.
Yeah, 21. It would have been his 21st.
21st.
Yeah.
So he's not done, though.
No. No, he's not.
And why should he be? You know, it looks like he's as healthy as ever. But 38 is old for tennis.
It is. But if you look at the guys who are dominating, I mean, still, remember Djokovic was one of the new guys when he came on the scene. Yeah. And now it seems the big three are the big three. And there's been a lot of turnover in women's tennis, and you know, Simona Halep beat Serena on Saturday.
Right.
But here it seems like these guys, they're pretty constant.
You planning on a McEnroe comeback, is what you're thinking?
I'm thinking that.
Okay.
Certainly.
ratings. One other sports note before we move on. The British Open is this week, the Open Championship. And the funniest story I've seen so far is Phil Mickelson claims he's lost 10 pounds. No, I'm sorry, 15 pounds. In the last 10 days by fasting.
What's the point?
I mean,
does he want to be lighter for the Open Championship?
I think he's got to run the entire 18 holes. I don't know entirely. I mean, he was a little puffy. He was getting beefy.
Yeah, but...
Having said that, fasting before an athletic event generally is not a great idea.
I don't think so.
I also find it hard to believe that he lost 15 pounds in 10 days. But why would Phil make that up?
Yeah, I don't think he would. I guess if he were going to be a jockey, then he might want to do it.
Can you imagine the look on the horse's face if Phil got on his back?
Yeah.
I mean, Phil's 250 if he's a dime. Next, Amazon Prime Day starts today. It's the annual shopping holiday that's exclusive to Prime subscribers. Look, let's call this what it is. This is an excuse to have Michael Heidemann come in here and do more crap he found on the internet. And let's do this every day this week. Because of Prime Day, Michael. So you're going to need a lot of stuff.
And you can get an Instapot for 30% off right now. It's $56 right now at Amazon.com. You can also get an Amazon Fire Stick for 63% off, $15.
And that's the stick you use to start fires?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
To start the pressure cooker.
Well, that's how it starts?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I just wrote to my husband and asked if I forgot to buy him a birthday present because there's like a 50-inch TV with Amazon Fire for $300.
Wait, I'm more fascinated about the fact that you don't know if you bought him a birthday present.
I don't remember.
How long have you guys been married?
2 years. It's like forever.
And it's already over.
I feel like I buy him presents for everything. Hey, you're done with work for the season. He's a teacher. Here's a present.
Oh, you do? So you're a big
it's
gift.
It's Monday. Giver. I bought you a present. Yeah, so.
Well, what's in it for you? What's he doing for you?
Buying me presents too.
He's aren't you too
man.
Adorable?
He's a good man. Yeah, so we're still in the honeymoon phase. It's okay.
Yeah, well, that'll end. At some point. I mean,
not setting it on fire yet.
Yes. Amazon Prime Day is basically, and I give Amazon credit for this. This is a clearance sale. This is stuff that Amazon wants to sell as quickly as possible and for as much as they can get. But so much of it is lost leaders to bring in the website to buy other things. It's really smart. And it's on today, and Steve will continue to update you. His top story all morning, Steve, will be other things we can get?
Yes, other things that you can get cheaply.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Yeah. Next! R. Kelly's girlfriends, in quotes, R. Kelly's girlfriends are kicked out of Trump Tower. Jocelyn Savage and Azriel Clary, the reported girlfriends of R. Kelly, were booted from their digs at the Trump International Hotel and Tower after the singer was arrested, according to a website called The Blast. Kelly was walking his dog when the Federales ran up on him and took him into custody. The doors to Kelly's Trump Tower apartment were immediately locked by federal officials, and the women were told to find other arrangements. There's something so perfect about the fact that R. Kelly lived in Trump Tower.
And that he has multiple girlfriends.
Yeah.
That's
do you think they actually thought they could change him?
We all do. We all think we can change you guys.
Next! Here's a good story. Paul McCartney got a little help from his pal, Ringo Starr. Joined him on stage Saturday night to wrap up the current leg of Paul McCartney's tour. Just 6 days after Starr's 79th birthday. McCartney's got to be 78, 79 too, isn't he?
I think he's, yeah, he's right not there. 80 yet, no. But he's
seven,
yeah,
late born 70s. In 41 or 42. So.
Yeah, okay, so he's 77, 78. Joe Walsh was there as well. He happens to be Ringo Starr's brother-in-law, and he took the stage. I love Joe Walsh. Has Joe been on this show since I came back? I don't think he has.
I don't remember him.
We've got to bring him in.
Yeah.
Starr is married to actress and model Barbara Bach. Walsh is married to Barbara Bach's sister, Marjorie Bach. Are they twins? Why do I think they're twins?
I don't know.
We'll get back to you on all of this. The McCartney Starr reunion was their first since the Grammy Awards in 2014. And I think they did a Dodgers Stadium gig, well, like a walk on one song thing 10 years ago or so, something like that.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Next, President Donald Trump on Sunday decided we haven't seen low enough. And Donald Trump on Sunday took it to a new level when he said that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, this is these congresswomen from New York and Minnesota, along with Ayanna Pressley from Massachusetts, and Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, should all go back to where they came from. This is all part of his anti-immigration stance and part of a much longer tweet talking about their crime-ridden countries, and they ought to go back to where they came from and fix that and then come back and tell us how to do it, as opposed to telling us how to run the government now. Here's the problem. Three of those four women were born here. The other's a naturalized citizen. They were all elected by American citizens to the current congressional seats they hold. You jackass. The first jackass is taking a lot of heat for this, and rightfully so. The responses from the Republican members of Congress, of course, have been outstanding. Crickets.
Right. And the tweets have begun already this morning where he's doubling and tripling down on what he said yesterday.
Anything new you'd like to share with us?
I don't have the tweet in front of me, but it's just continuing along the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And you wonder why I'm such a fan. And finally this. If you're one of the reported 1.5 million people who claim they plan to storm Area 51 in, where is that, New Mexico, right?
Yes.
On September 20th, you might want to know the United States military runs that particular area, and they're ready for you. Yes, United States Air Force spokesperson Laura McAndrews wants everyone to understand that Area 51 is still an open training range for the Air Force, and the military already stands ready to, and always stands ready to protect America and its assets. McAndrews didn't give out specifics, but I think firing missiles at people coming in to see the aliens they think are there is probably fair.
Well, if you have a 1,000 or so people storm the gates, and are we going to shoot and kill 100,000 or 1,000 Americans?
No, the answer to that is no, but you've got to do something to protect yourself from the loons, and something I'd never heard before, something called base jacking. This is an Air Force base. Hijacking, base jacking.
Oh, okay.
It sounds like an esports game, or it sounds like something like an X Games kind of thing. Dude, you should see me base jack.
There are signs all around Area 51 that say that the use of deadly force is allowed there. For people who cross the line. So.
Well, you can't go on any military base in the world that the United States controls, and I'm sure other countries as well, without facing, significant danger. And frankly, you should. But no, I don't think we're going to be mowing down loonies who come in to see the aliens that we supposedly have there.
Oh, they're there.
If the start of the end is because people want to storm Area 51, I will be angry.
They're there, and at Wright Patterson Air Force Base, we have the alien ship.
Is there, you think they are?
Yeah, the two places.
Are they like Disney, where they're animatronic? Like when you go through, they think it's a small world after all, or anything?
Well, there's a rumor that they took all of the aliens from Area 51 to Wright Patterson, and there's a base beneath Wright Patterson where they have all the.
Where is Wright Patterson?
In Ohio.
Oh, and they're really far away.
So that's close enough that we could all drive over there.
You sure they're not part of Tomorrowland at Disneyland or Disney World? Take the little trolley through.
This is just stuff I read online. I don't know this for a fact.
Well, if it's on the internet, it's true. That's your top six at six.
That's it.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
We just had an in-studio incident. John thought he was talking on an intercom, and he turned his microphone on.
Yes. I was waving frantically at him. I couldn't get him to understand what he was doing.
The reason I'm laughing is the look on his face, and also the fact that you didn't say anything that was terrible.
No, but
because
still,
if I had turned the microphone on, I'd be looking for work.
In my defense, it's only been like 20 years.
Right. So. How could you not know? According to News Investigation, well, that's the wrong one. Let me put this over here and talk about your news investigation later on. Let's do this one. Nothing beats the convenience of a gas grill, but it's not going to deliver that authentic barbecue flavor. Dave, do you know about Traeger grills?
I do. I've heard you actually tell us about
them. Yeah, they're from Apt. It's a great place to get them. They're fueled by hardwood pellets, and as you guys know, I was in a band called the Hardwood Pellets.
Play Lala every year.
Traeger grills give you the smoky taste of cooking over real wood with digital controls for easy start, convenient, and consistent cooking, and easily repeatable results. Try a Traeger, and you'll never go back to gas. Find a full selection of Traeger grills at Apt. Call Apt at 847-544-2284. See them in store today. Apt, pleasing people since 1936.
The Sox get in the ring with their division rivals in KC. This fight's guaranteed to go nine. White Sox, Royals tonight at 7 on WGN-TV.
A very
Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I've been off for a few days. What do you want from me? Dr. Kevin Musk coming up here in a few minutes. And Ryan Nobles from CNN later. Free White Sox tickets. Boy, it's a shame this weekend because they were on a nice little roll. And this seems like been the story of the Sox season. Two steps forward, three steps back.
Yeah, this was a rough one. But they were on a nice little roll. Oakland was on an even nicer little roll going into the break. And they just, and the White Sox don't play well in that ballpark, Steve. They haven't for years, really. And yesterday was their best chance to get out of there with a win. And they let that one slip through. But the good news is they got four in Kansas City starting.
Do you think that maybe the White Sox shouldn't have to play in that ballpark anymore?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Right?
Sounds fair to me.
So when it comes up on a schedule, they go, no, you come here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they unfortunately, they will be coming here.
Bill Medley from the Righteous Brothers is on later. He's playing the Center East Theater at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. And, John, when Bill Medley is on, if you could subtly, in the background, turn your microphone on and do You Lost That Loving Feeling while
sure.
we're in the interview.
Oh, yeah. My version or his
both
version?
Parts.
Both parts?
Yeah, do both parts.
Okay. Okay, I'll do it.
And a bunch of other stuff coming
up. Is he doing Goose or Maverick?
I think he's more of a Goose, if you've met John. Yes. It's 6:32. We'll come back with Dr. Kevin Most. You know what? Do we need another break before we actually do the headlines? We do. All right. First this break. Then we're back with the news. Then Dr. Most. And then I'll know what's going on 720 WGN. We are efforting Commander Lovell. Jim Lovell, who has been a friend of this radio station for many, many, many years. And Spike Odell, I haven't asked him yet, but we're going to have Spike on later this week, because who's a bigger space nut than Steve Grzanich? Spike Odell.
Yep. Uh-huh. Captain Lovell, by the way, in all of the historic photos, he was sitting right there at Mission Control.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Steve, did you see the Apollo film, the CNN Apollo film with no narration?
Yes.
It's just footage?
It's unbelievable.
It's tremendous.
Yeah, it sent chills up my spine.
Yeah, really cool.
Nice to watch that.
According to News Innovation, well, let's try that one again. According to a news investigation by the Chicago Tribune and Kaiser Health News, nursing home sepsis is rampant here in Illinois. It's a life-threatening bloodstream infection that often comes as a result of an infected bed sore. It's a common sign of nursing home abuse. The investigation found that 6,000 Illinois nursing home residents are hospitalized each year with sepsis. And sadly, one in five will die. Experts blame the prevalence on poor staffing levels in Illinois nursing homes. Symptoms include chills, loss of appetite, fever, rapid breathing, or irregular heartbeat. If you believe your loved one has developed nursing home sepsis or any other symptoms of nursing home abuse, call the GWC Injury Lawyers. They've gained a hard-earned reputation for fighting for the maximum amount of compensation for their injured clients. Call GWC for a free consultation at 312-999-9999. And remember, they don't get paid till you do. 312-999-9999 or justicestartstoday.com. Maureen Cochran will be on the show at 7:10 this morning.
I've never
heard of her. Total surprise to me. It's a complete surprise. I don't know if that's happening.
Well, you just mentioned it.
Yeah, but I'm doing this show. I'm hosting.
Oh, so you won't know when
she
calls?
As a person, I don't know that she's calling.
Got it.
We went to high school together, and the 40th high school reunion is Friday night. This is all part of my summer of Steve, where I don't work Thursdays or Fridays anymore.
Doctor.
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 And doctor.
Well,
We miss anyone?
Is Northwestern Medicine BP? Call Dr. Morse right now.
It's my friend, Dr. Kevin Morse. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Hot.
Yeah.
Let's talk that for a second, because I've played golf now for, I think, the last 7 days, and the lowest temperature we've had is basically the surface of the sun.
Yeah.
So for people that are going out this week, this is going to be hotter than last week. I know we go over this a lot, but I think it's important. What are the warnings you have for them?
Yeah, you know, these heat indexes are going to be well over 100, if I'm not mistaken, all this week. So probably the biggest thing is we already know that, so this isn't going to be a surprise for anybody. So really prepare. Make sure you have water with you. Make sure you have some kind of fluids with you if you're going to be out for a while. And then watch for all those signs of weakness, dizziness. You know, if you're sweating, that's great. You're cooling down. But if you get weak and dizzy during this time, try to find someplace cool. The concern is when you stop sweating and you get you can get very delirious as well, so people have to look out for that individual who isn't sweating, looks confused. Those are people that are getting towards heat stroke, and those are the ones we want to get in and get cooled quickly, and those are emergencies. The person who's a little lightheaded and still sweating, get them inside into a cool environment. And if you can't do that, get some water on them and get some air moving over them to cool them down as quickly as you can.
Any change in your long-standing advice to alternate water and Gatorade if you have access to both?
No, I still go with that. You know, water is great. It's a great way to replenish, but you have to remember that you're losing electrolytes at the exact same time. If you ever, you know, taste your sweat, it's very salty. So getting some of those electrolytes back, getting some glucose back. So alternating water with a sports drink, I think, is the way to go.
If you feel a little off, and by that I mean, you know, maybe it feels like you need a sugar hit or something. I mean, what does that mean?
Well, it can mean a couple of things. One, feeling a little off could be a little dehydrated. It could also mean you're hypoglycemic, that your sugar level has dropped. The body is really going to maintain the sugar level pretty well, because we have other places that we can get sugar from, including our liver. So we have access to sugar usually. So it's often going to be the heat related or the dehydration, which is going to make it more acutely change with this temperature.
And as far as people having fun outside and you know, and doing all that, beverage of choice not to go to. I mean, beer. I've heard. Am I crazy? I've heard different theories on this. For years, people said, don't drink beer when it's super hot. It makes the dehydration worse. What do we know?
Yeah, correct. Alcohol and caffeinated drinks are both diuretics, so you're going to lose more fluid. You think, oh, I'm taking in plenty. No, you're going to lose more. So if you want to stay net positive, it's going to be water and sports drinks and non-caffeinated drinks. And then I would stay away from alcohol. Couple reasons. I mean, a couple of beers in the sun, okay, but all of a sudden your judgment changes as well, and you can get into a bad situation just because the alcohol has made your mind a little different. And on top of that, now the dehydration and the heat is going to do the same.
Don't you think we should leave that gator in Humboldt Park alone and just see what happens, Doc? Don't you think we ought to go that route?
Hey, you know, I don't know what's going to happen on the news once that thing's caught. We're going to have to go back to talk about the economy or something.
Yeah, and actual other things.
Right.
When we come back, we're going to talk about sleep. Lack of it. Nobody gets enough, it seems. And there's a million solutions out there. What's good? What's not good? Doc will fill you in. And what's the CBD craze that's out there? Because I'm drinking it by the gallon. That seems like a lot. At 6:48. John DeCoss is here. And Dave Ennett, of course. Vivian's in for Super Joe, who's sleeping off a wedding for the weekend. Michael Heidemann's here. He'll have crap he found on the internet coming up. And Jen DeSalvo is in your traffic situation for Mary Vanderbilt, who's on vacation. And Steve Rizanich taking care of the news. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Back to Dr. Kevin Morse. We've got a lot to hit here, so let me jump in, Doc.
Yeah.
In regards to sleep, when it's more daylight later, it's harder. What, the blackout shades thing, you a fan of that?
Yeah, huge fan of that, especially for people, you know, that have to get up early. You know, our body's going to tell us when to go to sleep, and it's based on a circadian rhythm, and it's based actually on sunlight. So, or I shouldn't even say sunlight, any kind of light hits the back of our eyes, our retina, sends a message to our brain and says, I don't need melatonin yet. I'm still awake. And blackout shades will at least make the room dark, as it is in the winter and the spring, to allow you to get to sleep when you should be falling asleep.
Does eating dinner at different times affect it?
Yeah, it does. You know, we people that eat, you know, normally at 6 and then have some downtime before they go to bed at, say, 10 or 11 o'clock.
Well, now they're staying up till 11 or 12 and they're outside till 9.
Exactly. So the shift because of the weather, shift because of the light and the activities that we have has pushed all that. You know, the unfortunate thing is our work time doesn't shift as well. So we still have to be at work at the same time. We're just missing out on that sleep. And because of it's light out, it's hot out, and the change in the activities that we do.
So sleep aids, there's a million of them. The business has gone through the roof. Some are better than others. Some are you know, kind of adaptations, if you will. What do you think of Benadryl?
No, not a good idea. Benadryl is okay for very short-time use. You know, Benadryl is an antihistamine that we use for allergies. Well, one of the side effects is it makes you groggy, and therefore people use it as a sleep aid. But a large study came out in JAMA a few years ago that showed continued use or use for more than 3 years on a regular basis had an increased risk of dementia and Alzheimer's.
Wow.
So people that are using Benadryl should probably try to get off of that as much as they can and try to do some other methods to fall asleep.
So like ZQL shouldn't be taken every day then either, right?
Correct. ZQL shouldn't, straight Benadryl shouldn't, you know, any of those first generation antihistamines that have the side effect of making you groggy should not be used as a sleep aid.
So Dave, my idea for a NyQuil smoothie is right out the window.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that way, but I thought ZQL, Doc, is basically NyQuil without the cold medicine or the antihistamine. Is that, I mean, it's just a sleep aid.
No, the biggest active ingredient in ZyQuil is diphenhydramine. So it is an antihistamine that's in there.
Okay.
And it, you know, NyQuil has a whole bunch of other things, including alcohol at a large percent as well.
That's why Dave likes it.
Yeah.
Thoughts on melatonin?
Big fan of melatonin. You know, it's natural. Our body makes melatonin. It's a hormone that is made that tells the body time to slow down your breathing, time to cool down. This is when you're going to sleep. So melatonin, I think, is good. The issue, the difficult thing about that is what's the dose, because there really is no dosing. It varies from person to person. And then also continued use of it, you'll be telling the body it doesn't need to make melatonin. So it's great for people with jet lag. It's great for people on an intermittent basis. Long term, it's going to be a little iffy.
Contradictions and interactions with other drugs. I know melatonin's been associated to not be good if you're taking blood thinners, for instance.
Yeah, so you've got to be careful with any one of these medications. Any medication you're taking for sleep, definitely discuss it with your doctor. The antihistamines do, the sleeping pills do, melatonin does. So you definitely want to have that discussion with your doctor as far as what's the best one for you.
John?
Hey, Doc Most, how are you?
Hey, John.
My wife and I are like hooked on sleepy time tea with, I think it's chamomile or something like that, and valerian or something. How is that?
Yep. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. You know, you get these decaffeinated drinks that are soothing. You know, some of these teas have lavender in them. Just the smell as well as the taste of those are very soothing to you. So people that do that take a hot shower, have meditation before, all those natural things to slow down and kind of set your body back. Now, taking that tea while you're watching a baseball game till 11 o'clock is going to offset the benefit of it.
CBD oil.
CBD oil is huge right now, obviously. You know, we know that it decreases anxiety in people, decreases pain in people. The combination of that makes it easier for people to go to sleep. There's a lot of people using CBD oil prior to sleep right now, and it appears to be working. A lot of big studies coming out very, very soon as far as the full effect in a well-controlled study.
And the CBD oil doesn't have any specific regulations in how it's made, so don't just buy it at a gas station or buy it for the first place you see it. Do a little research. You're still rolling the dice a little bit, but if it's something you're going to try, what about interactions with meds there?
No, it doesn't appear to. So that's good. And it's very low in THC. So people say, oh, I'm going to take CBD, I'm going to get high. No, this is made from hemp, and it's not the same type that would get you high. But again, talk it with your doctor. And like I said, the science isn't out there yet, but anecdotally, there's a lot of people that are saying it works.
Are we getting away from prescription sleeping pills because of the publicity that's been associated with bad reactions to Ambien and things?
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to 5% of the population still use those, which is absolutely amazing to me. You know, and the FDA has kind of said, well, we got to take a step back. In 2013, we cut the doses. We said your doses are too high because of morning grogginess. And then just this year in May, they put the black box warning in saying, hey, be really careful with these medications. You have a much higher risk for injury in the morning and sleepwalking during the middle of the night, sleep driving. So the FDA, this is the biggest warning they can do short of banning a drug. So it's one that I would definitely have a discussion with your doctor about. And the other thing is huge. Don't share these medications. You know, it's like, oh, I can't fall asleep. Oh, my wife has a sleeping pill. I'm going to go ahead and try that. They interact with other medications, and they can be very dangerous if you don't know how to use them.
Turn the TV off when you go to bed. Don't have your phone where you can reach it. Don't use the computer in bed. Allow your body to wind down. These are all things that we're told to do. We all know we should do them. Not very many of us are good at it necessarily. But if you're committed to getting better sleep, you need to do that. And what's the amount of sleep you recommend?
I still recommend 7 hours, to be honest with you. Now, people might laugh and say that's impossible. Ideally, 8 hours, but 7 hours is, I think, is what you know your body is going to need to regenerate. And all those little things of cooling down your room, no TV, those are things that you can do instead of, we always go to what's the easiest. I can take a pill. I'm going to stay up and watch a game, but I'm going to take a pill so I can fall asleep. These are things that you can do so that you don't need the Benadryl, you don't need the melatonin, you don't need the CBD oil.
One other thing from a listener related back to where we started, and that is take care of your pets this week. Remember, they already have a coat on if you're out walking them and stuff.
Absolutely. Make sure you have water for them as well, and really just be aware. Walk them early, walk them late, and let them sleep during the day.
We ran out of time for acute flaccid myelitis, but we will bring that back. And, of course, that also was a band I was in. It's Dr. Kevin Most. Had a chance to see a couple of your relatives the other day.
Yeah, I heard Brad and Will stop by to harass you guys, which was nice of them.
Brad and I were talking about further developing the brand that is Moron Entertainment.
Yeah, he hadn't met Dean, so I'm glad he had the opportunity to say hi to Dean as well.
Yeah, I was trying to get him to talk to me, and he goes, where's Dean? Brad, I'm right here. Thank you, buddy.
You got it. Take care.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, is where you will find Steve next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I'm trying to think. This is probably after 1979. All right, so look, in the summer of Steve, this Thursday after the show, I'm going to hustle to the airport to fly to upstate New York where I grew up. And there was this hot little five-year-old named Maureen that I used to chase around. And we started dating really late, well, after high school. And eventually got married. And, you know, she's had plenty of options, but she decided to hang out. Which I appreciate. Now, honestly, if things go well at the reunion, the 40th high school reunion this weekend, imagine how excited I am. If things go well at the reunion, I think there's a chance I could get her to come home with me. Joining us now on the phone, Maureen Cochran. Good morning and welcome to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hey, thanks. Very happy to be here. Yeah.
Quite a thrill for you?
Yeah. I have an objection already to something you said.
What was that?
You would hustle. You would hustle to the airport. Now, I've been married to you for 36 years. I don't think I've ever seen you hustle. That's going to be a problem.
All right. Well, let's first off check your calendar. It's 35.
Almost 36. Okay, go ahead.
The 40th high school reunion. Now, you've known me for a long time. I'm not kidding, since we were 5 years old.
Since we were five, yep.
At any point did I ever say, you know, it'd be great someday as if I could go to the 40th high school reunion. So I don't really have to go to this, do I?
No, I know you don't want to go at all. I was not the one that convinced you to go. I don't know that you would have gone if it was just me asking. But one of my friends, who we've also known since we were four, she asked you to go. She said she offered you some of her really good Italian cooking. And you said, okay, I'll go if you'll cook me whatever dinner it was. Whatever arrangement you all have,
well, that's
you're going because of her.
We're speaking of your friend Rita, who threatened me. And she knows people. No, like, here's the thing. People listening right now, they go to their high school reunions, and I'm sure you have a great time. John, have you gone to yours?
No.
Okay.
I didn't have to. Nobody
Other
cooked.
Than John. I think people go to their high school reunions, they have a good time. Dave, have you gone to yours?
I have not, but as I told Maureen on Friday, I went to my wife's 40th high school reunion like two summers ago.
Did you meet all the guys she dated?
I already knew a couple of them.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, but it was fun.
Maureen dated a lot of my friends. Yeah.
It's and you dated awkward. A lot of my friends, Steve. So
yeah, not
I
so
think
much.
We're pretty...
Okay. So anyway, we have friends that we've stayed in touch with through the years. And, you know, I grew up with some cousins as well. So we're close with those folks as well. I believe I'm in touch with everybody I need to be in touch with. So Friday night at this reunion, I don't know what I'm going to have to say to these folks. And I rarely don't have things to say.
You're going to find something to talk to them about. And after Friday night, we don't need to see them again after that anyway. So
you know, it promise?
Really make any difference. Well, until the next That's reunion, good. The 50th reunion, did Rita convince you to go to that? I'm not sure.
Yeah. No, I actually, in a odd sort of way, I'm looking forward to this. And I mean an odd sort of way.
Yeah. There are people that say they're coming. I know you're going to have some interest in talking to them, even if it's just to talk about them after we leave. Still
well, yeah, the ride in the car while I'm driving you and your drunken friends back or whatever, because I'll be the sober one.
I have no doubt that you will have a much better time than you think you're going to have now. But I'm curious, Maureen, do you have any anxieties at all going into this?
For myself or for Steve? What do you
Well, you don't need to
John?
Be anxious for me. Do you have any anxieties for you?
No. It's 100... If everyone shows up, it's 156 people, like you said, 10 of which I, you know, adore and, you know, want to maintain some relationship with them, and 140 others that I don't need to. So, it's all good.
Yeah, but you're the life of the party. Let me be honest. John, you've met Maureen.
Yes.
Dave, you as well.
Yes, I have.
She's all fun. She just ask Abigail. She's all fun, and she'll be great at the party. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go up to people. I'm going to interview them. Hey, what have you been up to? Hey, how's it going? No kidding. How are your kids? You
got a break for a live read. I got a break for a live read.
Yeah, and then I'm going to move on to somebody else because I just, you know, you like people very much, and I like some people.
That is true. That's true. And then you can tell if you're disinterested because you'll ask them the same question two or three times. So how many, you got grandkids yet? And then they'll say, yeah, I have two, and then you'll forget what they said, and 2 minutes later you'll say, hey, got any grandkids?
Actually, going to high school in a small town. I had a great time in high school, by the way. Home life, not so much, but a great time in high school. And a lot of fun. And it was sort of an escape. And, it was a good thing. But is everybody the same way? I mean, from the time I left high school, because they told me I had to, to now...
But you did get a degree, remember? You got that diploma, Steve.
Yeah, it's the last one.
It was iffy there for a while, but then you did get it. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm smarter than I look. So after that graduation, you truly mean what you wrote in your yearbook. We're always going to stay in touch. We're always going to be friends. Right. Is everybody the same? Is everybody on this show, for instance, that's been out of high school for a little while, and that's everybody? Not counting the producers. Have you stayed in touch with more than, say, 10 people?
No.
No.
I mean, it's just life, right?
No. Yeah. How many people, Maureen, how many graduated in your class? Was it actually 156 or something like that?
Yeah, that's the number.
Yeah.
Well, don't you think that makes a difference? My graduating class was like 1,100.
Right.
And 156 graduated?
And I keep in touch with 156.
Oh, I see. So it's exponential.
But I'm just saying.
Well, and this 156 people we went to kindergarten with, too. It's not like, you know, we've known them.
There's more history for you guys.
We had a 20-year relationship with them, yeah.
Much more history.
So you're saying I'm a jerk for not staying in touch with
you're
more than
jerk.
10 people.
You're a complete. Maureen and I talked about this at dinner last night. You are a complete.
This is a real shock to the listeners. So what's going to happen at the reunion? Are there going to be any fun games we can play?
Well, I'm sure they'll be playing some 70s music, Steve. So there's going to be some dancing, which I know you're excited about.
As long as we're doing Earth, Wind, and Fire and the Ohio Players, I'll be fine.
Precious and Few, that was our prom theme, remember?
That was our prom theme.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Precious
so
and
good.
Few. Yep, that was it.
Can we bring Abigail?
You can ask. I always tell you can ask. I doubt they're going to say yes, but you can always ask.
We're kind of in no man's land here because we have grandbaby number two who could come at any time.
Yes.
And if the baby shows up while we're gone, I will be gone faster than I was in 1979. And it's weird, right? Because I'm going to know this kid for the rest of my life. So what's the hurry? Well, I mean, have you met your grandkids? Of course there's a hurry. So we're hoping that Lauren, as uncomfortable as she is in this heat, waits another week or so. All right, so I have nothing to worry about, huh?
You said I was a life employee, but you were a life at the height of the senior class, for goodness sake. Everyone's always wondering what Steve Cochran was going to do, what antic was going to occur that day, you know? So you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
I got kicked out of algebra permanently twice.
Permanently twice?
That's true story. Yeah.
That's not even good math.
He used to do the announcements every day. You guys know that, right?
So I didn't know that.
It's my breaking show business.
And tell you when the GAA was meeting and all that kind of stuff, and then he'd skip out of school. And then for some reason he was able to convince most of us that, no, you didn't hear me. I wasn't there.
Did you do the cafeteria menu?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yep, he did.
Holy cow. Mm-hmm. Who was your number one best friend in high school?
That was Steve.
I was not your number one best friend.
Yes,
stop it.
Were.
That's not true.
You were. By the time we got to be seniors, you were my best friend,
that's
for sure.
Because I was trying to fool around with you. Hello.
With all my drama and trauma. Yep.
But who was your best female friend? It was probably Rita and Diane, right?
Those women that are still in my life. Yep.
Yeah.
And Rita, I've known since I was four, and Diane, I've known since fifth grade. So, yep.
And in my case, it was the guidance counselor, Malcolm Head, Mr. Head. And you know why? Because I could talk him into anything.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I did the announcements, but then I went to the golf course. But look, I'm back now. Why so was everybody upset?
Wow.
All right, so we're doing this, huh?
We're doing it. I'm getting on a plane tomorrow, and you better show up on Thursday. That's what I said.
Let me tell you something. If this baby shows up on Thursday, you're solo. I'm telling you right now.
John, will you get Steve to the airport on Thursday?
You got it, Maureen. You got it.
Good.
All right. Now, are you talking to other shows in town about this reunion?
I got to go. I got other people lined up.
All right. Thanks for coming on the show. We have no parting gifts for you.
I want the app gift card for sure.
All right, fine. Okay, you do listen.
All right.
Have a good day.
See you guys.
See you. Bye.
Bye.
I'm in my going.
I know. It's just, but, you know, most people go, I didn't know that.
I don't know why I'm apprehensive about this. I'm not nervous
plus,
in front of
anybody. You're pretty successful. You know? I mean, it's like you could be kind of the cock of the walk there.
Think you should walk in, hand out hundreds?
Pretty much.
Hello, yeah. Daddy Warbucks
Hi.
Is here.
How you doing?
No, I mean, I don't know why I'm apprehensive about this. I don't.
I'm telling you, I went to my wife's, and granted, it was local, but I had a good time. It was kind of fun. I heard some stories I hadn't heard.
Oh, that's good.
And
there used them against her?
And the one advantage I had, there was a bar.
Oh, they, please.
That won't help you.
A lot of people went over because they said, where's Dave? Lisa at the bar. Yeah. They go over there.
You might want to bring your walk-up music, too, and have the DJ. There's a DJ.
That's good. That is good.
Now, your wife, Karen, is nothing but fun, too. She like Maureen. So I assume she had tons of friends from high school?
Yeah, and she had friends who were living out of the country who flew in for this.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was – she really – she was apprehensive about going, but she was really glad she went. And I was glad. I was glad for her, and I was glad I went along.
Well, 40 years down the road, there's going to be people you can't identify, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what do we do about that? DNA?
Well, that's why you have the Hello, My Name Is tags on.
No, I'm not wearing a name tag.
Well, there he goes. Already starting. He's not even there yet.
The rules may apply to others. They don't apply to
me.
I'm not wearing a mate.
It's not going to happen.
Bear with me. I'm new. I'm not going to have to wear like a pin on my shirt. All right. So next week we'll have plenty to talk about when reunion report is in. But if anybody's got any advice on this, now in all seriousness, if you care about me at all, 312-981-7200. If you have any advice on getting through your high school reunion, let me know.
You know, I forgot about that with the name tags. For the members of the class from that year, they had their high school yearbook pictures on the pre-printed name tags.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of a cool idea.
So
that would help. That would definitely help. Yeah.
You should have seen my hair then. Woo! Better than today. Now, I will say this, and it was nice of Maureen not to bring this up. She's in the High School Athletic Hall of Fame. She's on New York State basketball championship team. She's a great swimmer. And she likes to remind me I'm not. However, there is a high school sports distinction. It doesn't have anything to do with playing football, which I was really average at. I was a decent golfer. And we had won, for those of you old enough to remember, Sports Illustrated used to do a thing called the back page or the last page, which was actually a feature about some small town athletic achievements anywhere in the country.
Faces in the crowd.
Yeah, that's what it's called now. But I don't know if they called it that then. But anyway, Sports Illustrated called our golf coach. We had won 94 consecutive matches, which is like 6-7 years of winning in a row. Well, maybe not that much, but a lot. And if we got to 100, they wanted to do a feature on us. See where this is going?
Yep.
I was on the team that lost number 95.
I was going to say, you know, and you're going back to reunion?
Well, the good news is 40 years later, I'm over
thinking?
It. 40 plus. 725.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Helpful listener from the 847. Steve, I have no advice for your reunion. I was kicked out of two high schools and suspended from the third. I eventually got my diploma by the skin of my teeth, but I have no advice. Stop asking. Thank you for that. All right, as usual, short on time here, but Pat Truer joins us now. Pat, you're the most valuable person on the planet.
Thank you very much. This is a tremendous start to the week. Get that title already.
Going to raise a bunch of money for Chicago Arts Partnerships in Education. You and a bunch of your friends are putting on a show called Joke at the Oak at the Irish Oak Bar to benefit that organization, CAPE. And you're trying to raise $100,000. That's a lot of money, dude.
Yeah, yeah. So, hey, we just, a few months ago, we realized that we had something here and with comedy, and we could really do good with it. And so we came up with the $100,000 number just because, actually I was supposed to be on a game show and the prize was going to be $100,000. And I thought, well, if I win that, I'm going to give it all to charity. But then last minute, I did not get selected for the game show, but I still had that number in my head.
What game show?
And, for the $100,000 pyramid.
No kidding.
With Michael Strahan. And so I had that number in my head and I thought, come on, there's still a way I can do it. And I moved here from Colorado to develop my comedy skills, and I was like, you know, I think I can do this with the comedy show that we've been running at the Irish Oak in Wrigley. And so we talked about it, and we're like, all right, how can we do this? How can we raise $100,000? And so we said, well, let's do a show once a month. And let's pick a local charity each time and sell tickets and give all the ticket sales to that charity and see where it goes. And so we've been running it now. We're coming up on our fifth show, and this show is for the Chicago Arts Partnership and Education Group. And we're averaging about $1,000 or so. And it's terrific because the audience members that we have come out, and they actually will suggest different charities, and we will pick a different charity each time within the Chicago community to sell tickets for.
It's Joke at the Oak started last December. As you said, fifth show now. Next one is going to be when?
The next one is on Friday, July 26th at 7:30. So next week.
Yeah, a week from this Friday. And you and how many other comics?
It'll be myself and eight other comics.
Wow.
Yeah,
eight other comics. That's a lot. They better be good.
Yeah.
You know what if they're not good, people could pay you to stop.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I have to be very selective about that, right? Because a show can turn quickly if they're not good.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, it's a great thing that you're doing. And Joke at the Oak on the 26th at the Irish Oak. And for more information, where do people go?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page, which is just a Joke at the Oak showcase for CAPE. Or you can go to the Instagram page, which is Joke at the Oak, all one word. So either the Facebook page, Joke at the Oak Charity Showcase, or on Instagram at Joke at the Oak.
All right, man, I appreciate it. Congratulations on your MVPP status.
Hey, thank you so much. It was great being on the show. Really appreciate you allowing me this opportunity to tell the community about it.
Yeah, keep it up, dude. Keep it up. That's a good guy right there, Pat Truer.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
815 text, reunions are fun. Nobody can lie about their age because you're all the same age. By the time you get to 40 years, everybody's done trying to impress each other. People are nicer. I was a geek and not part of the popular crowd. And people are more accepting. You share a common bond. My class is 450-plus, keeps in touch great with each other. 50 years this year, 630. We had so much fun at our 40th, even with people we have nothing in common with, except we're all going through life at the same time. At our 40th, we decided to get together for the class of 77. 60th birthday is this year. It was nothing but fun. And then this from the 630. At your reunion, you should stop interacting with people every 10 minutes or so, play a commercial for American Weathermakers, and go to traffic. Jen, I don't know what you're doing, but you're going to need to come to the reunion with me so I can toss it to traffic.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, it would be good fun.
And right outside the school, everything's heavy in the turnabout.
Ryan Nobles, my friend Ryan Nobles from CNN. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you?
Hope you had a nice weekend.
I did. I had 11 children in my house this weekend because my sister and her friend came to D.C. So.
You left it to go where?
I had to play tour guide. I took them around the U.S. Capitol.
Oh, that's fun.
We went on the new dinosaur exhibit at the Smithsonian.
Yeah, that's
we
fun.
Had an amazing weekend. It was great.
Did you lose any of the 11?
We did not. Okay. We do write our kids' names on our phone number on their hands, just in case.
Let's be honest.
We're very cautious.
Let's be honest. It's tattooed.
I'm considering that.
Yeah, you can't be too careful as a caring parent. Well, that's cool. That's fun. You're a good man. And meanwhile, in the real world that we live in the rest of the way here, in the real world that you cover, after Donald Trump seemed to be almost universally criticized for his little Twitter tantrum yesterday morning, in which he insisted that four women of color in the United States Congress go back to where they came from and fix their country's problems before they tell us how to fix ours. As you would imagine, this morning, Ryan, the president has thought about it. He felt bad and apologized. No, actually, he didn't. He has this, as people like to say, doubled down. Here's the tweet from an hour ago. When will the radical left congresswomen apologize to the country, to the people of Israel, and even to the office of the president for the foul language they've used and the terrible things they've said? So many people are angry at them and their horrible and disgusting actions. And you know what this? All of his tweets could be just put them in one big pile. You know what they are? They're the "I know you are, but what am I?" tweets.
Yeah, I mean that's a great way to describe it. And you know, it's also an incredible projection for the president of the United States to suggest that someone else is using bad language when talking about the big issues of the day, which is kind of what we know he does, not just behind closed doors, but in public when he's talking to other people. But, you know, this is, I think, another example of, you know, for the president's perspective, I'm actually walking through the quiet car in the cellar right now. So,
right. Just tell them you're on the air with me. They won't mind.
Yeah.
You know, the people at D.C., people at D.C. with Ryan Nobles interrupting him with Steve Cochran in Chicago, they'll be thrilled.
I believe it or not, I did get looked. I don't know if you guys, if the quiet car is a thing in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, very, very controversial here, so.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, the point being that, you know, from the president's perspective, this is a fight that he wants to have, right? He doesn't have a problem having this fight. He thinks this fires up his base. And this is, I think, what angers a lot of people about his conduct and why regularly many of these 2020 presidential opponents of his call him a racist and a misogynist on a lot of points. And it's, they point to this exact time of behavior as an example of that. And then the president throws his hands up in the air on Twitter and acts as though he's the victim in a case like this, but he completely ignores this, you know, the conduct that he's made and the things that he said in a form that everyone can read. It's really head scratching, but that's the way Donald Trump has operated from the very beginning, and there's no reason to think it's going to change.
Meanwhile, well, we don't expect better behavior from the president, and how sad is that, though it's in fact true. We do expect the people of Congress to stand up and do their job as a co-equal branch and defend the rest of us. And once again, absolute crickets from the Republican congressman. I'm talking about the delegation from Illinois and all the other 49 states. They didn't say a word.
Well, this has become kind of a running experiment that we have at CNN, that every time the president says something that most people would argue is controversial or downright wrong, that we spend the Monday after or whatever the case may be and chase members of Congress down and force them to give their opinion on it, particularly Republican members of Congress. So that's going to happen today. We're going to have our people all throughout the halls of Capitol Hill saying, you know, what do you think about that, what the president said, and how can you defend it? And I think that we can't ignore kind of the coded language in what the president said when he said that they should go back to the countries where they're from. These are, you know, these three women, members of Congress, all were born in the United States. They're all American citizens. They are all, by the way, members of Congress. There's nowhere else for them to go. They're where they're supposed to be. And this idea that the president somehow seems to be obtuse to how dangerous and how offensive that language can be is part of the problem. And to your point, Steve, the fact that there aren't going to be a ton of Republican members of Congress that are going to stand up and call him out for it, regardless of whether or not they agree with him on policy, even if they agree with him on immigration, using this type of language, particularly for this group of women who deserve a level of respect because they're elected members of Congress, is baffling, but that's where we are.
Yeah, and it's dangerous for any number of reasons, not the least of which is if one half of a co-equal branch of government doesn't do its job because they're afraid of the guy in the White House, how are we different than Putin? How are we different than any other country with a dictatorial leader who pretends it's a democracy?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the biggest difference, Steve, is that you and I are on the radio talking about it now. And, you know, we still have a freedom of the press, and we still have a press that's willing to go and press these members of Congress and the White House about this type of language. But I do think you're right. I mean, I think that there and you know, there was a period of time in America where, you know, those members, elected leaders, stood up for their country first and their party second. And we definitely are in a time frame, and it's not just Republicans. Republicans happen to be the ones that get more of the criticism now because they're the ones in power. But there's a lot more of, you know, defending your party than there is defending the country or defending the government. And I think that that's a big problem now, and I don't know exactly where the solution is.
Well, it all comes down to turnout. I'm telling you, every Republican who continues to hide, and you know who you are, you are counting on the fact that the 35 to 40% of people who support Donald Trump are rabid, and they'll all show up to vote, and that the 60 to 65% who don't support Donald Trump won't show up to vote. That's a heck of a roll of the dice.
No, and that's the president's gamble. I mean, the president believes that. He believes that it's a base election, that he's going to win because his supporters are not going to go anywhere, and there's a big chunk of the country that's either just thrown up their hands, nothing else they can do in this participatory government, or they just don't care and aren't engaged at all. And, you know, I think there are a lot of other Republican members of Congress who feel like they can't win without that coalition, without that group of people who will support the president under any cost. And this election is going to be eye-opening in a lot of respects. Either the president's gamble is going to be right, or we're going to see whether or not the Democrats playing into the kind of the far left politics on their side is the right course. And I think that's where you see why I think Joe Biden's candidacy is so interesting, because he's making the argument that the trend has not bucked all the way to one side or the other, that he's trying to make a middle of the road argument. That's he's going to do that today with a health care rollout, where he's going to try and basically enhance the Affordable Care Act as opposed to going so far as doing something on like Medicare for All along those lines. You know, the appetite in the Democratic Party, I don't know if it's there on that. I think they want to elect somebody that is pure on their side of the aisle as well. So the question is, you know, how strong is the middle of the country right now, Steve? Right now it doesn't appear to be that strong, but maybe this election will tell us differently.
It's Ryan Nobles from CNN. He's very busy. He's very hot. He's very much in D.C. He's very, very concerned about the 47 children he has at his house. He's got a lot going on. The quiet car hates him, and yet he takes time to come on with us. Thank you, my friend.
I never miss it. You know that. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
At Ryan Nobles all over social media. And the Steve Cochran Show continues. You know, it's time for Super Joe's White Sox trivia question.
White Sox trivia question?
Yeah, it's that one. Yeah. Michael, you can tell me in my headphones what game we're giving away. In the meantime, John, Super Joe's not here today. Do you have a question?
I do. I will take Joe's place.
We know the White Sox uniforms were very famous when they wore shorts. You have a different question.
I do. Can we just say it?
Say it.
1969, the White Sox changed things up. They did white over blue. What am I talking about? White over blue what?
White over blue what in 1969? Okay. First correct answer, 312-981-7200. That's the telephone number. You're going to get tickets for the Twins and the White Sox. Is that Thursday? On Thursday night at Guaranteed Rate Field. Congratulations. I already feel like you're a big winner. 312-981-7200. I'm sorry, I said this Thursday. It's next Thursday.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
we interrupt this moron entertainment to get a winner of those White Sox tickets. It's Tony from Chicago. John asked you the question. What's the answer, Tony?
It is the stirrups over the socks.
That's it.
Stirrups over the socks.
Yeah, they reversed
Maybe
it.
You know a little too much.
Way to go. Way to go.
Tony, you got tickets for the Sox and the Twins. That's next Thursday night.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Dean Richards and the entire Channel 9 Morning News invaded Naperville on Friday.
Dean, 10,000 people, they estimated.
Annabelle Lavalle was clearly the most popular. Dean was second. You guys,
I'm also from Puerto Rico, that's why.
That's right. And anyway, it was great. And we had a good time hanging out with you guys.
Nice to see you. Nice to see the whole morning show crew. And man, it was fun. We have the best fans, and there's nothing like walking down the streets of Naperville and having people shout at you, "Hey, moron!"
Right.
I had it that morning, and then that night I hosted the night at Ravinia, the West Side Story night at Ravinia, which was really fun, and having people at the very classy and prestigious Ravinia Festival also shouting out, "Hey, moron."
It makes it special.
That was nice.
Makes it all very special. Dave, you were there Friday night.
That was me yelling out.
Oh, you were yelling out more?
Yes. I was sitting just probably about 50 yards from Dean on the lawn there.
How did he do?
I didn't see you.
I thought, but Dean, it was great because they had a huge Dean Richards head on the video screen.
On the big screen.
And it was, it was great. You could see
when
it
from anywhere.
When you
say anywhere. A huge Dean Richards head, it's like saying a huge Steve Cochran head. They don't come in any other size.
No, believe me, this was Dean.
This is like a billboard size video screen that they had. And my head filled up this entire thing. It frightened me when I walked in.
Yeah. Did children run screaming from Ravinia?
Yeah, birds. You could see flocks of birds fleeing from Highland Park.
They did
scaring them.
Split screen during West Side Story, and one half the screen was Dean. On the other half, the entire cast of West Side Story, dwarfed by Dean's head.
Dean's head equals a cast of a movie.
Wow. And then last night, Jennifer Hudson.
I was disappointed, though, Ravinia, though, the Twitter board was malfunctioning.
Oh, it didn't work? Yes.
It didn't work. I mean, people could still tweet. People tweeted questions in, but it didn't show up on the board. And I like it when it shows up on the board because then you can see which inappropriate things people have sent in that we choose not to read out loud.
Yeah, because I tweeted in, who has a bigger head, you or Steve Cochran?
You know, I saw a lot of people, and Dean, you can clarify this, that when they saw the image of you on that screen, they said, Klaatu Barada Nikto.
What?
Science fiction fans are laughing hysterically right now.
I know.
All right. Okay. I believe it.
All three science fiction fans.
Yeah, right. You, me, and some other person. I think.
Dean did a great job, though. It was very, really interesting. That's hard to do.
Standing on no sleep.
Yeah, on no sleep and standing up there rattling off facts about the history of West Side Story and the movie. And it was great.
Talking about your relationship with Rita Moreno?
I did. We weren't really married, but it was a thing.
Texter,
I want to be in America too.
773. This whole moron thing is ridiculous. Poor Dean. It's demoralizing. Only you, Steve, think it's funny.
No, I think it's funny too.
Yeah, no, Dean finds it funny as well. Yeah,
I think
yeah.
it's funny. I think a lot of it. Thank you for trying to come to my defense on that. I appreciate it.
No, there's many things Dean would like you to defend him on. This ain't one of them.
Yeah, I think people are enjoying the the moron franchise seems to be catching on wherever
like
you go.
Hots cakes.
Yeah.
Jennifer Hudson, last night.
Last night I was back at Ravinia because I can't get enough. But I was just there as a civilian. I was not didn't have any official function. I was just there to enjoy the show. It was their annual gala fundraiser. And so, you know, half the people are at Ravinia in normal Ravinia clothes, shorts and, you know, summer wear. And half the people literally are in tuxedos because it was a gala, a fancy gala. So I was among those in shorts.
Wasn't it a little steamy for a tux?
It was a little steamy for a tux. I asked, I don't have to wear a tux to this, do I? Because I know it's, you know, galas are fancy. And they said, no, people are, just come as you normally would to Ravinia. So I was in my Daisy Duke inappropriately short shorts and tank top. And enjoying the show. Jennifer was amazing.
J-Hud, as you call her.
J-Hud started the show from the back of the pavilion with this beautiful, stirring version of the gospel song "How Great Thou Art," and she brought the house down. I mean, man, she is just an amazing singer. But walked down the aisle while she was singing this, and when she came to where I was sitting, she acknowledged me. I've known her for a pretty long time. She acknowledged me for some reason. I don't know why. I kissed her hand. I wanted to hug her, or I've known her for a long time.
Sure.
I wanted to acknowledge more than just a passing glance. So I bowed and kissed her hand, and I don't know why.
Did you laugh at yourself when you did it?
Afterwards, I did.
Yeah, go on.
I was like, when did I become in the royal court of kissing people's hands? But here I can give you, I love sniffing celebrities whenever possible.
Of course you do. Yeah, who wouldn't?
Jennifer's hands smelled like cinnamon.
Oh, isn't that great?
Yeah, they smelled like cinnamon.
Yeah.
So I've decided, now this is a great way for me to start really, getting a good sniff of all the A-listers that I talk to from now on. From now on, if you are an A-lister, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to kiss your hand. This is going to be my new signature.
That's your new signature move.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, Ryan Seacrest, his hands smell like money.
Yes, they do.
So if you're wondering,
they smell like Fort Knox.
Check that off. Yeah. All right, so when we come back, Paul and Ringo, Ed Sheeran, Beyonce, Seth Rogen, new 007, and exciting news. The bottle cap challenge, we keep seeing celebrities do this thing.
Right. They kick the bottle cap off with their foot.
John has come up with the middle-aged man challenge.
Oh, good.
And we're down to three ideas. So, John, run those ideas by Dean.
Right now?
Yeah.
Okay. The first one is, Dean, you know that Steve was in Grumpy Old Men.
Yes, I do.
So the scene where he's like, hey, should have looked at Miss Carlson. So he's on the TV.
I'm doing the weather.
He's doing the weather. And then
Walter Matthau
says, shut up, fat ass.
Right.
So we want guys to videotape themselves, to record themselves.
Saying, shut up, fat ass.
He'll do his dialogue, and then you just say, shut up.
All right, that's one, two.
Okay. Yeah, the second one was, we just want to see who can get out of an easy chair without using their hands.
So you have to get up like a cushion chair.
Yeah, a cushion chair.
Oh, that's tricky.
Yeah, without pushing up.
And again, we're videotaping this. Yes. It's much more challenging than the bottle cap challenge.
It can't be one of those mechanical chairs where you push the button and it lifts you.
It tilts you forward? No.
Yeah, no, it can't be one of those.
And three?
And the third one is a blindfolded sandwich making. So you just put all the food on a Lazy Susan, you got to blindfold and make the sandwich. You got to feel for it, make it.
And then you got to eat it.
You got to eat it.
All right. So blindfold sandwich making.
Get out of a chair.
Getting out of a chair.
And what was that? Fat ass?
Or the grumpy old man challenge.
Shut up.
Telling you, shut up, fat ass, to me. 312-981-7020 is the number. You can text in your answers. John's trying to get this viral challenge going because really the bottle cap thing's dumb.
I remember when Wally Phillips did this hey, fat ass contest. Remember that many years ago?
Everybody does.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 97.
Sponsored by Ravinia, home of Dean Richards. Texter pointed out when you Google moron entertainment, the vast majority of the responses, other than some guy out in Fresno that's got a company called Moron Entertainment, a guy named Ron that does like disc jockey work.
We're going to sue him.
Yeah. That it all comes up moron. In other words, we're Google-rific. So it's all over your Google. And if that happens, clean it up as fast as you possibly can. All right, Paul and Ringo.
They appeared together for the first time since their Grammy appearance back in 2014. Paul McCartney was wrapping up his North American tour at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles on Saturday night. And toward the end of his show, he brings out a special guest. Listen to this.
And Ringo's almost 80, right?
Ringo is
79.
Just turned 78, I believe.
Okay. What do you got, Dave? Dave, you have an update on Ringo?
No, I would. I'm sure Dean has that correct.
Oh, okay. I thought you were giving me the high sign.
I believe. I thought
it was 79 right. Last week.
Well, let's take a look. It was his birthday last week.
It was his birthday. I think they said 79.
Possible that I may be wrong. Have been. He was.
I didn't want to correct you on the air.
You are correct, Dave Bennett.
Okay. What are you, a moron?
79.
That's very
and,
cool.
And Paul is 77. Both these guys are both pushing 80 years old, and they are up there rocking and rolling like crazy.
They could do the middle-aged man challenge easy.
They did Sergeant Pepper's. They did Helter Skelter. Joe Walsh from the Eagles joined them on stage also, and they performed. The Beatles first appeared at Dodger Stadium, August of 1966.
And the latest Moron Entertainment Middle-Aged Man Challenge Edition is chase a kid around without getting winded. Ed Sheeran.
Ringo will be at Ravinia, by the way, because we haven't mentioned Ravinia for 20 seconds. We'll be at Ravinia August 3rd.
Okay, Ed Sheeran.
Check him out. Ed Sheeran got married over the weekend.
Oh, good for little Eddie.
Married his longtime childhood sweetheart.
That's nice.
Yeah, you never hear that happening in showbiz.
So she was there when he had no money.
When he was just a little baby, Ed Sheeran. Cherry Seaburn. Is her name. They started dating in 2015, announced their engagement last January, and now they are husband and wife.
And Beyonce is in jail in London?
Beyonce almost was in jail. They had the London premiere of The Lion King there over the weekend. And, you know, they have a big reception line, and Prince William and his wife, Trixie, she was there. And Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, they were there. And, you know, they're walking the line. And you're not supposed to touch the royal family if you are a commoner. And when Meghan Markle went up to Beyonce, Meghan Markle sort of initiated it. But Beyonce went all the way through and gave Meghan Markle a hug. God forbid that.
Yeah, lighten up, Francis.
Yeah,
come on, they've been friends forever.
But that's the British royalty protocol that you're not supposed to touch.
Is the death penalty involved in that? Death penalty?
Yes,
it is. Okay.
Last time I was in London, I pantsed Prince Charles. I just went up right behind him and pulled his pants down.
Really? Yeah. That's okay for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
And as soon as you do it,
pantsing a guy is okay.
As soon as you do it, the Benny Hill music starts. Seth Rogen.
Last week I was in Los Angeles and I saw the new Lion King, which I'm going to give a very good review when it opens on next Friday. It's technically it's spectacular. Mm-hmm. This whole movie is made with computers. Nothing is real, yet everything looks amazingly real. And it's this very familiar, very heartwarming, touching, nostalgic story, and Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner play Timon and Pumbaa, the Hakuna Matata guys, kind of the comic relief in the movie, and they are hilarious in this movie. But talking about Beyonce, they talked about being at the premiere with Beyonce and, you know, the fanfare that follows her wherever she goes.
And here's that.
The audience stood up kind of randomly at the end, and I don't think they were standing for us.
No, that's what my wife was like. No,
Billy's here.
Yeah. Like, that is not true. they stood because she came out.
Yes.
100%. It's amazing. Is the persona around her like that?
Yeah. She's like the most famous person on the planet and yeah. one of the most talented. So, yeah, it's like one of those rare instances where, like, someone truly deserves all the massive fame they have.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so, and everyone recognizes that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What connection did you have to this movie growing up when you were a kid? Did the original movie mean something to you?
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was so funny. I specifically loved Timon and Pumbaa, especially. Like, I was super into comedy at the time, and they were just hilarious. So,
yeah.
That and Pulp Fiction were my two favorite movies of 1994.
Similar.
Yeah, very, very similar. Well, here, any movie? First of all, the laugh, number
I know.
One.
He and Anderson Cooper should have a laugh-off. They have the worst laughs in television.
But
and
how about
movies.
That for a kid? His two favorite movies as a kid growing up, The Lion King and Pulp Fiction. It says a lot about Seth Rogen, I think.
You know what I'm going to do tomorrow for you? Because this is more on entertainment. We're going to have a laugh-off between Maria Menounos, Anderson Cooper, and Seth Rogen.
Okay.
And we'll determine which laugh is the most ridiculous.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
I didn't know Maria has a weird laugh.
Oh.
Really?
Like you wouldn't believe.
it's kind of Billy Goat-like.
All right, thanks, buddy.
All right.
That's Dean Richards, and again, thanks to everybody at Channel 9, specifically Paul Rennie, the handsome general manager, who, green-lit all that stuff on Friday.
It was a great day. It was a lot of fun.
Your news next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I like digging holes and hiding things inside them. When I grow old, I hope I won't forget to find them. 'Cause I've got
in the middle of all the yelling about politics back and forth, not a lot's being discussed. A lot of noise, not a lot of content. Jeannie Allen, standby, founder and CEO for the Center for Education Reform, who believes we got to look at it, not just talk about it, but look at education differently. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
The Center for Education Reform, what do you do? What do you want to do?
We are the leading authority and advocate for greater opportunity and innovation in education writ large. We believe that every child deserves the best education, don't we all? But we think, Steve, that you have to do it dramatically differently by giving more power to parents, more opportunities to communities to build their own schools, and more flexibility to teachers.
And what do you say to those who say charter schools kill neighborhoods?
They haven't looked at the fact they've actually saved public education since they started in 1991. I mean, the facts are out there, from Chicago to Boston to D.C., throughout even some suburban communities. Public education was losing enrollment, money, and public confidence until charter schools showed that actually by putting more hands in the power of people closest to our kids, we can succeed.
How do we get kids who are economically challenged families the same sort of access?
Right, that we have to have more opportunities. And look, charters are one tool. What they've shown us is that all public education, all schools, period, should have the same construct as a charter. I mean, for those people who don't really understand this, because we beat this around in politics, right?
Right,
a lot.
All the time.
All the time. What it is it's a different way of doing public education. The original concept of chartering was a contract with teachers, parents, citizens to create their own kind of school tailored to the needs of kids that parents decide how best their kids go to school, rather than wake up in the morning and send your kids out by zip code. So you asked about disadvantaged kids, Steve. Well, we send kids to school based on their zip code.
Mm-hmm.
Why does that make any sense? Why not based on how they best learn? Big, small, arts, science, back to basics, experiential, and give teachers the power to deliver the education that serves them best.
Are we going to be able to get these politicians to not just talk about it, to actually do something about it, where they can fund these educational opportunities appropriately, or is the cowardice going to continue in Springfield and Washington?
You know, until we really educate these folks and use our votes to tell them we mean business, it's going to continue to be business as usual. Money should follow kids no matter who they are, where they live, and whether it's Springfield or Washington, D.C. The problem is everyone thinks that the CTU, your Chicago Teachers Union, the NEA, and the AFT are the 500-pound gorilla, and if they don't kowtow to their demands, that they will lose. Guess what? They don't. They're a paper tiger. Just as one example, the unions did not endorse Barack Obama. The unions endorsed Hillary Clinton. Who won the presidency?
Right.
Barack Obama. So we have to understand that this is about kids and not adults, and the way to succeed is to get the millions of people who are already out there with their kids in schools that are helping them, make them understand that this is actually, they're going to lose the greatest opportunities they have if they don't fight.
Let me ask you about something else related to education, because I think there's a sea change that needs to go on here, but I'd be curious to get your view on this, because you swim in this pool every day. And that is, are we teaching kids the wrong thing by the time we get to high school? There's a guy in town named Howard Tolman. He's a genius. He runs the Kaplan Institute at the Illinois Institute of Technology. Prior to doing that, he ran one of the biggest startups in the world here in Chicago. And prior to that, he started at a college which was specific to gamers, to code writers, and to kids who knew what they wanted to do but didn't want to put up with gen ed stuff in college. Gen ed applies to a lot of people that don't know what they want to do, but for those that do know what they want to do, don't we need to have some more of those specific sort of avenues to take?
Absolutely, and that's part of transforming education. We need to do this completely differently. We have to start and say what options are most important for kids to have access to. We should introduce them to pathways, higher ed pathways, career pathways, as early as second and third grade. We laugh about, right, that our babies and our kids at home are like, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a, you know, a teacher. I want to be a scientist. Then we should be putting them in programs and introducing them to the math and the science and the history that will help propel them once they can begin to make those choices, which aren't at 15 or 16, by the way. Kids are beginning to know a lot more about what they can do by 8 or 9. And we actually confine them to some bizarre limitation that says you got to wait till you're in high school or even college to make a decision. That's a different generation.
Yeah, and by the way, when we continue to support four-year schools not helping kids decide what they want to do when they get out in 4 years, 4 years turns into five, and five turns into a 23-year-old who comes out and still doesn't know what they want to do. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and the solution to the higher ed conundrum we have, really, and I've written about this extensively, is not to say it's a four or a two or no college. It's actually to help people understand that higher education needs to be defined dramatically differently. Why is it two or four? Why isn't it one? Why isn't it six? Why isn't
well said.
It when you're in high school, you are learning? You can do so much. You don't have to go sit at a residential college, although that's great for a lot of people, and frankly, it still drives a lot of the economics out there for pay. But you could be doing lots of different things in between, around, and instead. And that's what we have to encourage. It's much more innovation and technology, like the gentleman you just talked about, allows us to pay less, get more, and have it more personalized and tailored. And that's where education has to be across the board.
Yeah, and if a kid doesn't want to go to a four-year school or even a two-year school and they want to go to a trade school, celebrate it.
Well, it should be celebrated, but the one thing I will say and push back on folks that just only believe that there's an either or is even technical skills related learning has to be infused with the literature and the history and the world. I mean, we need to be raising a generation of civic-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
And so there shouldn't be an either-or, like, I'm going to go learn to build light bulbs, I'm going to learn to build code, or I'm going to take an art history
class.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I agree.
You should be able to do all of that.
Yeah. What your passions are, you should ought to be able to chase them. I just think we could do a better job of helping kids
totally
fine-tune it.
In all those areas.
To find out more what Jeannie Allen does every day and to stay in touch with the Center for Education Reform. By the way, she needs to run for office, but she won't do it yet. Where do we follow you?
Edreform.com is the website. Follow me at Jeannie Allen, no I, J-E-A-N-N-E, Allen, or at Edreform.
And please feel free to tell her you disagree. She'd be happy to have that dialogue with you or have one of her folks do it.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Thank you.
There you go, Jeannie Allen. All right, let's do this. Six. When am I starting the show over? 8:52. And when we come back, Michael Heidemann will reveal in Amazon Prime Week crap he found on the internet that's for sale. So it's not just Amazon Prime, pal. You know what I'm saying, Dave?
Is he recommending we buy this stuff?
Yes. And I believe there's some sort of illegal double dealing, double dipping situation that he's involved with, and I'm more than willing to promote it.
As long as you get your piece.
Yeah, you know, a little taste. All right, Michael Heidemann's here. We're going to save the time that it would take to play your very important theme and jump right into the content here. John DeCoste is here as well. This is Crap Michael Heidemann Found on the Internet, and it's in honor of Amazon Prime Week.
True, true. It's a big day for everybody, and you know, the theme song alone is one of my favorite theme songs, Muddy Edge.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. A shame we can't hear it.
That's okay. It's okay.
But that doesn't stop the greatness of this day. And, Steve, I have some amazing gifts for you to give to your family, use as your own. And what better way to start off a hot summer's day? It's 90 degrees today here in Chicago.
It's going to feel like 100.
Oh, my God. It feels like it right now. The inflatable pool float is what you should get. And there's
but not just any inflatable pool float. This is different how?
It's 2019, so now we have not only the normal noodle that you see, you can get the inflatable hunk pool float, which is a man that hugs you while you're swimming.
This is a blow-up doll for women in the pool.
I know.
How much?
This is $19 on Amazon, a very, very affordable Amazon Prime Day price. We also have the wings that you can wear as you're floating on the pool, the avocado pool float, which is the avocado with or without the pit, and, of course, the huggable sloth.
The sloth actually looks like a sloth. You can lay on it. Yeah. The wings are angel wings, like Victoria's Secret supermodels.
But you can only see it above if you were on the diving board.
Well, why would you go into the pool
or
with those on?
Or if you were in heaven.
Or a drone.
In the avocado pool float, I don't even begin to understand. All right, what if I have a need to toast my hot dog buns? What are we doing for that?
Everybody needs this. 4th of July has passed, but that doesn't mean that the summer parties have stopped. Well, I got you the Nostalgia Retro Pop-Up Hot Dog Toaster. Not only does this cook your buns, it also cooks your wieners.
This actually has slots for two sets of buns and two wieners all in the toaster. How long does it take to cook a hot dog in this thing?
So I imagine it cooks pretty fast. I mean, most toasters probably take about 5 minutes. This one, I think, takes around six.
So 6 minutes. Aren't you going to burn your buns?
You know.
Yeah, could you repeat the description of this thing again?
No, he can't. He's out of time. So it's about, what, $20?
Yep, $20. $19.76 originally, but for today, $16.99.
Also on Amazon.
Also on Amazon.
All right, give me another one.
We've got, of course, one of my favorites to lighten up any room. We have the Asian man reading a book, looking up, and daydreaming.
Why?
This is a... This is like a big head wall sticky thing?
Yes, this is one of those, the fat heads that you often see.
Right.
You can get Aaron Rodgers, or you can get the Asian man reading a book, looking up and daydreaming, only for $24.96 today. In fact, it has a review from James McGray, changed my life. Perfect to bring joy or scare people.
Is it just an Asian man, or do they have others?
Oh, they have many others. As if you're a loyal fan of this segment, you'll know that there's many that you can find on Amazon.
Now, I don't know if you know this. I hate snakes. What's your next item?
Well, this one is not then for you unless you love eating snakes.
Nope.
That's the giant gummy bear party python, which stands at a staggering 8 feet or 26.9 pounds of gummy
Holy
bear
cow.
Goodness.
And that's a lot of gummy bears. How much are we talking?
We're talking $123.92 today.
If I'm not mistaken, though, because you have to swallow this whole.
You do, or else it swallows you whole, in fact.
Imagine getting that out of your teeth.
And 5 out of 5 star reviews, 26 pounds of gummy goodness, and Jay Kelly says, this thing hugs me more than my girlfriend.
And again, we're not making this up. All this crap's available online at Amazon.
Yes, it is.
All right. Let's say that I have more of an affinity for cockroaches.
Well, then, Steve, I got the best gift for you to give to your family, friends, loved ones, and more. The Madagascar Hissing Cockroaches Sexed Pair. That's male and female. Only $12.95 and free shipping today on Amazon Prime. Day.
I don't even know what to add to that. Who's buying hissing cockroaches?
Loved ones. And in fact, we have a... It's funny you mentioned that because it got 4 out of 4 out of 5 star reviews, 56 customer reviews. So if you translate to all the people who didn't add reviews, that's probably 100,000 people.
There's
right
a
there.
Lot of freaks out there.
And it also says here, act now, you get two, but act with separate shipping and handling, you'll get over 1 million.
It's a great beginner bug, too, for all those people out there.
Now, you know, John and I are show business producers. We're helping Michael pitch a new syndicated show. It's called Two Lies and a Why.
Yes.
Two Lies and a Why. It's similar to this, an extension of this. It was born out of this. He's going to give us three products. Only one of them is real?
Mm-hmm. Only one of them is real.
All right, give us the three products.
All right, so you've heard two truths and a lie. Well, this is the latest game that's taking over America, like Steve had mentioned. For the first product, we have something that everyone who sleeps late needs, especially if you work on the morning show mm-hmm. and you need to wake up with a little bit of food. The Wake and Bake Griddle. It's $39.99, and yes, it's the dream product for anybody. It's an alarm clock that makes you ham and eggs.
So the alarm clock goes off and the griddle goes on?
Yes, that's correct. Just like in the famous Office episode where Michael Scott burns his foot on the bacon maker.
May or may not be true. Item number two.
All right, item number two. For all those great Avenger fans, the Infinity Gauntlet Meat Tenderizer. Now this... this is something that every kid wants in their Christmas stocking.
It's basically it's a giant fist that you can pound a steak with.
Yes, it's a giant bejeweled fist that you can pound meat. And in fact, it has some special recipes: the Infinity Cutlet, the Pepper Chicken Pots Pie, Hawkeye Steak, and the Game Pie, and the Stark Tartare.
As opposed to steak tartare.
Yes.
And finally, item number three. Again, one of these is real; the other two are fake.
Finally, yes. Dave, I know you had an anniversary recently, and you
yes.
love pets and you
yes.
love dogs.
Yes.
Well, I've got you the perfect time saver, mm-hmm. the Pet VR product. It's time to get virtual. For $159.99, it's perfect for any occasions. You can put this little VR set onto your dog or cat, and they even pioneered a new process called WAHT, the Whisker Attention and Haptic Telepathy, where you can tell your... I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
It's whisker attenuation and haptic telemetry, sorry.
That's what I meant to say.
WAHT, groundbreaking addition to computer vision and sensor platforms. Pet VR, so your dog can chase a squirrel and never leave his house.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so which of those? Let's vote. Which of those is real? Only one of those products is real.
Oh. Only one is
only
real?
One's
only
real?
One is real.
Only one is real.
I know
the
we wish that they were all real, but only one is
only
real.
Only one is real.
I'm going to go with the alarm clock, the ham and eggs alarm clock.
Good vote. And? Dave?
I think that's the one that's real.
John?
I'm going to say the tenderizer.
I'm going tenderizer as well.
Alarm clock for me.
Alarm clock?
Alarm clock?
Yeah.
Steve?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the alarm clock, too. I think that's a real thing. I'd buy it.
Nobody's going with the pet VR.
No. We think it's the meat tenderizing fist.
Well, Steve, you are correct.
Yeah, there you go.
The Infinity Gauntlet Meat Tenderizer. You can buy that for all the kids out there. And, oh, my gosh, if someone can make the dream griddle, please make that happen because I want that as well.
Yeah, and how about the goggles that replicate what your dog wants to see? Like,
oh, gosh.
Can the dog change channels? Like, get a dog's butt on there and stuff?
It's
a brilliant idea.
If smell is available, I suppose it'd be really nice.
Smell-o-vision. Michael, you've done fine work here, but then again, where else would you do work like this?
That's true.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
It is 9:17. We continue live from the greatest radio studio on the planet. Greatest studio on the planet, Dave. I do some painting up here as well, as you know.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's a...
Also, during the Bill and Wendy show, I like to work in watercolors.
I know. I think it bothers them.
Whatever. 18th floor at 303 East Wacker, and we're looking out on the lake and the river, and happy to welcome to studio right now Sarah Chamberlain of Women, Two Women. That's Women, the number two women, and CEO of the Republican Main Street Partnership. Important conversation happening tomorrow, but some really interesting women. And Sarah, you're bringing them all to town?
We sure are.
Well, it's a good thing.
To it.
Even though you told me I can't come.
I'm sorry. Well, you could dress as a woman and come.
Look, what I do on the weekend has nothing to do with this important conversation. Let's talk about who's going to be in. Ann, is it Beeler or Byler?
Beller.
Ann Byler, founder of Auntie Ann's Pretzels. Cordia Harrington Wilkinson, founder and CEO of the Bakery Co's companies, I assume? Yes.
Yes.
And Heidi Barker, Chief Comm Officer for Cleveland Avenue. What sort of things do women need to hear? And the folks coming tomorrow, what are they going to hear?
So what we're going to do is we kind of split it in two things. We have the women, we call it Count Me In, and we ask them first to tell us about their policy issues or their biggest things impacting their families, not in a political way. This is not a political event. Mm-hmm. This is policy-driven, you know, health care, mental health, whatever that is, so we can then take that information back to Washington and get some good legislation introduced and passed. Then we shift for the last about 45 or 50 minutes into talking to amazing women who have incredible stories, who like to share their stories and kind of reach down and help the women in the audience answer their questions, tell them what they did right, tell them what they did wrong, and just kind of imply their knowledge onto them.
Yeah, and you were just telling me off the air, the founder of Aunt Annie's has had an amazing life story.
She is.
Overcome a million hurdles.
She has. She was born Amish. She was married young. She and her husband lost a child, and she went to her pastor, and she ended up being molested by him. Her husband wanted to go into counseling, so she started selling her pretzels at a flea market. And now she's in six countries and thousands of locations around the country. And I will admit, I've gained probably 5 or 6 pounds off eating her product. But
well, that's what friends are for.
Yes, there
and
you
I
go.
Think you look great. So where are we doing this?
We're doing that at right
Evolve
down the street
her.
Here. The Evolve Her. Right.
Right, 358 West Ontario. Can people still get in?
Absolutely. There's only a handful of tickets left. And we do charge $20.19, but you get a really nice gift bag. The reason we charge that is we want to remind women that this is the 100th anniversary of suffrage, and it really is time to be counted in.
Now, there's a big topic that came up in the last couple of weeks, and that's equal pay for the incredible women's mm-hmm. soccer team. And speaking of politics, the mayor of New York stood up and said, "When I'm president, women are going to be paid equally on the soccer team." He has no authority over that.
No, none at all.
So how do we cut through the BS where you take what you learn tomorrow and at these various stops, take it to Washington and actually make it work when Congress has been so ineffective?
Well, actually, it hasn't been as ineffective as people think. Equal pay is one of the issues we're working on. We have bills that have been introduced already in a very bipartisan way, and it's seriously being taken up and considered.
Well, give me a win. Tell me a story about a
mental
win.
Health. So we got the first mental health bill passed since JFK was president, which is probably all of our lifetimes.
How has it been that long?
Isn't that scary? But we're on tour. The women are like, listen, we need mental health, and it's either affecting our families or friends' family. Everybody knows
everybody.
A mental health story. So 2 years ago, we took it up. Again, very bipartisan and passed the bill.
And it's federal funding for mental health
it's
work.
It's federal funding. It's more beds. It's more doctors.
Sure.
It gets you out of the emergency room bed and into a bed where you actually get some counseling. And actually, it's cheaper to have mental health patients in a mental health bed than it is to have them in the emergency room.
Well, I have no problem smacking around politicians here. Give one credit. Who helped you with that?
That one, Congressman Fred Upton from Michigan was the lead on it.
Okay.
Diana DeGette from Colorado was a Democratic lead on it.
Well,
again,
we have tons
all
of listeners
of our,
in Colorado and Michigan, so good for them.
Well, all of our legislation isn't very much a bipartisan.
Man. All right. So how do you call these topics and take them to Washington? Because I'm sure there's a million ideas that come up.
Well, we take the top five.
Okay.
Which is usually health care. So what we've just recently done is women have expressed a concern about hospital billing. They don't understand the bills.
What's the coding? The coding is
Thank
ridiculous.
You. So now Greg Walden and a couple other members have introduced a bill to simplify that. So now when you get your hospital bill, you understand what it is and you understand why you're getting charged what you're getting charged. So it's just things like that. And again, it's just important for women to be able to tell us what their kitchen table issues are and know, unlike most organizations, that we do take that directly back to Washington and work on legislation. Pell Grants is another example. We were sitting there. Women raised their hand and said, why can't you get a Pell Grant, which is a loan to go to college? Why can't you get that in the summer and winter sessions? We're like, we didn't know you can't. You can now.
Is there any way to work on the basic business models of private colleges and the tuition they're charging?
Not yet, but that would be that we're open to discussion.
Will you put that on the list for me?
I will put that on the list for you. Absolutely.
And give it credit for somebody who's there tomorrow. It doesn't have to come for me. Just to go backwards for a second, the insurance companies are a huge lobby. I don't buy for an instant that in the greatest country in the world, and I'm a capitalist, mm-hmm. we should try to shut down insurance companies. It's a ridiculous mm-hmm. notion. They do tons of great work. However, at some point, it's a chicken or the egg, right? Are the insurance prices high because they have to be because the hospitals aren't playing along? Are the hospital prices high because the insurance companies are driving them up? You'll find, you know, reasonable arguments and unreasonable arguments on both sides. But with the insurance companies having such a huge lobby to affect change, what do?
You work on them and you try to bring them into the equation and have them sit at the table. We actually did that with a piece of legislation called the Right to Try. Terminal ill patients get the right to try different chemical mixtures, whether it's pills.
Oh, without
or
going
radiation.
Into one of the test programs.
Yes, without having to go into a test program because they're hard to find test programs.
Yeah, hard to
and
get
they're
in.
Often,
yeah.
They're often not near your family. So when we discussed that, we brought the insurance companies to the table. No, we negotiated, compromised, and President Trump signed that into law last year.
Well, I'm a big nag about making sure that people not only vote, but also tell their elected representatives, if you want to remain my elected representative, I'd like you to work on this or that. So give me one you're working on that hasn't been done yet.
Infant mortality. So we have for our country, we're one of the greatest industrialized countries. We have the highest infant mortality rate, believe it or not. So that's a huge issue out there. New Jersey is the state that has the highest in our country.
I don't understand how that can be.
It's a mixture of things. Some of it's opioid. Some of the mothers are coming in addicted. There's a lot of different equations around it, but we're trying to tackle that. And again, very bipartisan way.
That's part of the issue, though, right? The dominoes of one thing. It's not just as simple as there's the problem, fix the problem, because there's several things that lead to a big problem.
Absolutely.
So which end of it do you attack?
We try to attack both ends at the same time, to be honest. That's what we do with the Right to Try. We attacked it from the pharma side as well as the patient side. You got to get the players to the table, and again, in a very nonpartisan way, and that's how you can hopefully get some things accomplished. D.C., actually, a lot of bills get done. It's just that they don't make it to your national TV or to your radio shows, unfortunately. There's a lot that's happening in a very bipartisan manner.
Well, I'm aware of Congress successes. I'm also aware of, you know, I don't subscribe to the it's the media's fault.
No,
and I'm not saying you're
not
saying that, but the focus we have in covering 2020 now and MSNBC, CNN, Fox as well, knock it off. 2020 right. is literally next year. Let's right. talk about what's happening right now, right. good, bad, and ugly, and let's hold these people to account, all of them, from the White House to Congress and all the way to state houses.
I could not agree with you more. There's a bill that was passed that is trying to cure Alzheimer's and cancer. You know, nobody even knows it passed. It's called 21st Century Cures. It could really affect and change your life. When I talk to the women about that, hardly any of them have ever heard of it. And these are what I wish that the media would focus on. And you're right, 2020, let's leave that to next year. And let's focus on what's getting done in D.C. And again, in a very bipartisan way.
And I'll also point out that those that we have elected, Democrats and Republicans, why don't you stop talking about the things that you claim people don't care about because you're the ones that continue to bring them up and start talking about these wins.
Right.
And for instance, that bill.
Right. It's a great bill. I wish they would. Fred Upton and, again, Diane DeGette did that one. Very bipartisan, and nobody knows it existed. And actually, that's been around a couple of years, and Barack Obama signed it right before he left the White House. And, again, it's
so wait, you're telling
cancer.
Me Democrats and Republicans can work together?
They can occasionally.
What?
More than you realize.
Unbelievable.
I know. Isn't that scary?
Women to women. Women the number two women. Tell them where and when again.
Tomorrow, I would like to have you there by 6. It's a reception. Of course, we're serving Auntie Anne's pretzels.
Well, that's a reason to go anyway.
It's a reason to go right there. So we love to have you. We have about 10 tickets left.
Okay, so get on that note. But way to get them is to go to what website?
WTWtours.com.
WTW.
Mm-hmm. W number two.
Yes.
Tours.com.
All right, nice to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. Bill Medley, Righteous Brothers coming up. John, big news. We're going to be interviewing the alligator from Humboldt Park before 10 o'clock.
Oh,
that's exciting.
Good. I'm
right.
glad he's back.
And we need to tell folks about the comedy tour.
Sure.
So we'll get some details on
Perfect.
That coming up. What's up at 9:30? The middle-aged man challenge, Michael. We have a winner. The winner is getting out of a chair without using your arms. So we're going to need to shoot that after the show. John, you want to be the first person to do it?
I'm in.
All right. So John DeCoste will be the first person as we attempt to make the middle-aged man challenge viral. You have to get out of a chair without using the armrests.
I think we should pick one of the newer chairs that we have in the building, one of the fangled new wave chairs.
Oh, good call.
Because some of these chairs, I mean, I don't know how anybody sits on them.
And yeah, there's chairs in Todd Manley's office that you need some sort of winch.
Yeah, they look like they came out of the Jetsons. The Jetsons.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
All right, so we'll have that up before 11 o'clock.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Now I had the time of my life. No, I never felt like this before.
Bill Medley. Yes, I. The Righteous Brothers. Center East Theater. This is a great theater. North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. North Skokie Boulevard coming up on July 19th. Well, by my calendar, that's Friday night. Good morning, Mr. Medley.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Thanks for being on. Is there any of all the hits you sing where you go, I can't sing it anymore? I've sung it enough. I can't do it anymore.
No, you know what? I don't know what kind of a sick thing it is, but you just never get tired of singing those songs. I think it's mainly the audience, you know, when you start singing those songs, they show you all that love and they're excited to hear the song, so it's like brand new.
Sure. Now, Bobby Hatfield lost Bobby Hatfield back in 2003, and you could have shut it down then, but you found a great guy in Bucky Hurd, right?
Yeah. Bucky and I have been friends for a long time, and I put it off for about 13 years, but had a lot of friends in the business kind of pushing me along that I should keep reform the Righteous Brothers and keep that music alive. And
sure.
I'm real glad I did. Boy, it's just been wonderful. It's been a lot of fun.
You know, when we were all growing up, Bill, guys that, get past 70 would eventually be told, yeah, thanks. Here's your going away prizes. Everybody's touring. Everybody's out there. Why would you quit?
Yeah, you know, people ask me when you're going to retire, so I'd have to get a job first.
Right. Retire to what? You're having too much fun.
Yeah, this isn't work. This is a 15-year-old boy's dream, you know, and I just love it. I love it, and I won't stop. As long as the audiences are there, I'll be there.
Yeah, and the voice, as long as the voice sounds as good as it does, why would you quit?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
All right, I know we both have to run, but before we do, who do you go see? Who would you buy a concert ticket for?
Well, the last show I saw was James Taylor. Bucky and I work in Las Vegas. We do a residency show there. We do about 30 weeks a year at Harris. And so a lot of great acts are over there at Caesar's Palace, which is right across the street. But the Eagles, I'd go anywhere to see the Eagles or Elton John, Billy Joel, you know, and now Bruno Mars. And, in the old days, it would have been Ray Charles, Little Richard.
Well, Ray Charles, Little Richard, and Billy Joel, you put them all in a salad blender of some kind, and you get yourself a little Bruno Mars. He's unbelievable.
that's exactly right.
Center East Theater, North Shore Center for the Performing Arts, July 19th. It's just, we're only a few tickets left, but get your tickets before they are gone, and it's a pleasure to have you on. Nice to connect with you again.
Oh, it's cool. If you're around, come in, say hi.
That'd be great. Yeah, I may come backstage. You can throw me out then.
Okay.
All right. See you later. Texter says, I saw the Righteous Brothers in Vegas last year. Love the show. Going to go see him next Tuesday. They're doing a show out at the Arcana as well.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
How about that voice, though?
I know.
Right? I mean, why would he quit? Please.
30 weeks a year in Vegas, why wouldn't that be enough? I would just stop. Like 30 weeks is more.
I mean, you know what it's like. Once you're on stage, the idea of going somewhere to get on stage, that's the part you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Getting on stage and being on stage, it's fun.
Right. Yes.
Still fun. I mean, you and I are old.
Well, and we're doing Righteous Brother tunes this year.
Actually, what I don't like is when the audience chants, quit now, Steve. Quit now, Steve. coming up right after I take care of this, we're going to talk with the Gator. In Humboldt Park. He's calling in again.
He's great.
Scotty, right?
Scotty. Yeah,
Scotty the Gator.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Bill and Wendy are here. We're not going to talk about you guys quite yet, but feel free to jump in on this if you like. Scotty the Gator's on the phone. The Gator from Humboldt
Love
Park.
Love Scotty the Gator.
Mm-hmm. Let's go over there now. Good morning, Scotty.
Hey.
How'd you guys keep getting, like, my cell phone?
Well, you called here, like, four times asking if you could be on the show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was me. I'm sorry.
So, last time we talked to you, and again, this is an exclusive interview. Nobody else has Scotty the Gator. You talked about the fact that, you know, this whole thing was sort of an accident, but you're kind of enjoying the attention now.
No, I was having a great time. I was like, you know, my first time in Illinois, and I'm like, I'm gonna look around and see. So I was gone for like a couple of days to Dubuque, and I spent some time there.
Did you say you were gone to a Kabuki theater, or you were gone to Dubuque?
Oh, yeah. But that's in Iowa. It's not in Illinois.
No. So you're getting around. No wonder nobody could see you for a couple of days. Dave, well, no, people out there staring, he wasn't even there.
He wasn't there.
I came back because I guess there's another gator in the pond. Chance the something.
Chance the snapper.
So there's like two of us now, man.
Well, haven't you seen him if there's another gator? See, I thought they named you Chance the Snapper, not knowing your real name is Scotty.
Whoa, so I'm the guy?
Yeah, you are, in fact, the guy.
Oh, so there everybody's looking for me?
Yes.
Well, okay, I had at Loma Nata's Pizza. I was over there for like an hour. I take the bus. I don't know, what's the big deal? What can you find me?
Do you wear anything special? Or do you just, you know, show up in your regular you?
Well, no, I can't wear no clothes or nothing like that, but mm-hmm. I got a Sox cap on. You should be able to see me.
Okay. It's Scotty the Gator in a Sox cap. So, Dave, you have a question?
Yes, I do. Scotty, what do you think of naming your buddy there in the lagoon Chance the Snapper?
It doesn't make any sense, man. It doesn't make any sense at all. He's not a snapper. He don't snap.
Hey,
that's what I said.
All right,
stupid, man.
Until he snaps.
And I don't know him personally, but his name is Rick.
So there is another gator. All right, Scotty, we'll continue to check in with us. Good luck today.
Hey, I'm on my way to get some more food.
Well, I have a question about that food. You said you went to Lumel Nati. So contrary to popular belief, you eat not people?
No, he likes pizza.
Okay.
Honestly, have you ever met anything breathing that doesn't like a good Lou Malnati's pizza?
No, everybody loves it.
That's all I'm saying.
That's cool. Do you even need me at this point?
Apparently you got a better offer. All right, more with Bill and Wendy in just a second.